Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 36.
Mockingjay. Like, mock. Part 1, because if I need another title at some point, we need Part 2. Didn't they split it? I don't know Hunger
yeah,
Games.
They did.
I've never seen Hunger Games.
I just know that Mystique is, as she's like, I'm Katniss, you have failed this mushroom, and she tries to get mushrooms.
And
the kid from Zathura is in it, except like he has muscles, but it looks really awkward because his face looks the exact same as it did in Zathura. Zathura reference right out of the gate. It was like Jumanji in space. It sounds made up, but it's true.
I've seen that movie way too many times.
See, you know it. There we go. Like, Robin Williams wasn't there, though. He's not anywhere. But he wasn't there at the time.
Oh. Oh, God.
Wasn't the older version of him Dax Shepard? Or am I imagining Dax Shepard being there?
I don't know who Dax Shepard is.
He's married to Veronica Mars.
Yes, I just looked it up.
Okay. Like, it'd be funnier if it wasn't Dax Shepard, and for whatever reason, I'm just inserting him into movies.
Yeah, Dax Shepard was there. He was the older version of the little kid. And then Bella from Twilight, who was his older sister, was like...
Oh, yeah. She was also in the movie Catch That Kid, where she looked like a male monkey. I mean, she still kind of does, but it's like a little more, I'd do it. But, like, she look up Catch That Kid, she looks like a male. This is true, it's happened. But, like, so why doesn't the guy in the Hunger Games look like Dax Shepard? Is he going to be in the next one? Like, he should be, like, as grown-up Zathura kid. Who was also in the movie RV with Robin Williams. It's all connected. RV, Zathura, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all of it.
She does kind of look like a delinquent teenage boy, doesn't she?
See? She really does.
Huh.
I don't even know what's going on, but I love this conversation.
But it just blew my mind that the Zathura kid was in a movie with Robin Williams.
What the hell is Catch That Kid?
Like a heist movie. It's a heist movie. Like, these kids rob a bank, and there's go-karts, and a bait. Like, the dad runs, like, a go-kart place, and he, like, sprains his ankle or something, and they need money for surgery. So they're like, hey, yes, that's true. And they rob it, and they have to bring a baby because they had to babysit it, so, like, they just take the baby with them. And they pull it off, too. And then they're like, when they get caught, they're like, oh, it was an insurance test. These kids were hired by the insurance company to test your security. You failed the city. And they're like, oh, okay. Here's your reward for robbing our bank, and they give him money. And the dead bank will save. And they make the go-karts have an Xbox controller on them that gives them turbo powers. This is like Kevin Summers, but for Catch That Kid.
Oh my god, obscure movie references in 30 seconds.
It's happened. I'd summarize Zathura and Catch That Kid. Beat that, everyone else.
You're
should we do Cruel Intentions next? No?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where to go.
That was my one.
This is just...
the one-ups.
I guess if you want to. I don't know how anything we've done this week could possibly top that.
I can't.
Brian's already given up.
I'm working on my fanfic about how RV secretly is sequel to Zathura.
I've done a whole lot of nothing. I beat Lego Batman 3 today.
Now you can get the Arrow DLC.
No, seriously, like, if... Did you buy Lego Batman 3?
No. I tried.
You tried? Okay, well, regardless.
They never had it at Target, and then I gave up.
Watch. It's only one level, so watch, like, a playthrough of the DLC. Because they've got Stephen Amell doing, like a narration over a good portion of the level.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's hysterical. Like, the things that they make him say is really funny.
Well, it's funny because I bought that Injustice Gods Among Us game for PS3, and there was Arrow DLC to just play as him, but I couldn't download it because I was locked out of my account. Mm-hmm. And so for PlayStation Plus members, they had it free, the PS4 edition for free, with like the extended edition or whatever, with all the downloads. So I downloaded the game again solely for that content. And it's really lame. Like, it's his voiceover, but he says all the same lines as regular Green Arrow. Like, I was looking forward to, like, beating someone and him saying, "Fail the city," or "I love Felicity," or I don't know what he says. But it was, like, the same exact lines as regular Green Arrow said, and it didn't work. Like,
shoot Superman with an arrow. "I love Felicity."
That's exactly what you say when you shoot Superman with an arrow. But it was pretty disappointing. Say. But I heard about, like, I was going to buy Lego Batman just specifically because I heard you could play as Felicity later, but Target never got it in. I mean, they did eventually, but they didn't. I kept going back and they never got it in, and I just gave up.
Yeah,
that's how
you get Oliver, Diggle, Felicity, Sarah Black Canary, Helena.
Helena? What about Roy?
Roy's not there.
You can't turn Roy and then turn to a Canima.
You can play as Dig, but you can't play as Roy. All
right.
Well granted, yeah. Dig is the greatest superhero in the world, so.
This is true. He suited up as the Arrow that one time, and he's going to do it again. So.
But regardless,
he's got the best costume on TV. Ski mask? Classic understated.
Oh, no, Roy's there. God damn it, I'm stupid.
Damn it, Brian. We just went on a tirade for upwards of 45 seconds for nothing.
I was about to write the creators of the game an angry letter.
I don't know what outfit he's in.
Not even a letter. A letter. That's how mad I am. I'm going to old school this bitch.
He's going to have a BF. He's going to have a bitch fit. White chicks.
It just says Roy Harper, so I kind of hope he's just in a hoodie.
Oh, yes. That was my Halloween costume. I wore my red hoodie. And I just looked, like, unpleasant a lot.
Oh, I forgot Slade, which is funny because he was in the level.
Poor Slade. No one's fed him. He's going to come back in an episode that's about malnourishment. It's going to be, like, a whole thing. Like, at the end, they're going to say, "We had a lot of fun tonight, but malnourishment is serious."
Well, at least he has a roommate now. So.
Oh, yeah. That boomerang guy.
Captain Baby Boomerang. What the hell else have I done? That went on a tangent. I've got a little talking USADA lettuce figure that has wheels, and that makes me happier than it really should. But he's cool. Yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
Really? I've been watching the bonus features of my How I Met Your Mother DVDs. And when I'm not doing that, I'm wishing I'm doing that. I bought one of those Bionicle Helpers.
Oh, the protector. Protector of blank.
Yeah, well, because the first Bionicle I ever bought was Ice Guy, so I wanted to buy him as my first one this time, because, you know, rules. But they didn't have him when I was at Walmart, so they had the little ice protector guy, so I bought him. I haven't opened him yet. And then I went to Target today to buy the ice Bionicle guy, but there was other people in the aisle, so I had to leave. Well, it wasn't just other people. Like, they were unloading their stock, so there was, like, a swarm of Target employees. It was like a swarm of bees, but with red shirts. So, like, whenever there's people there, I just have to get out. So I didn't end up buying it. But that's about the most thrilling thing that's happened to me. I watched 22 Jump Street again, and then my friend made me watch part of Revenge of the Nerds and was trying to tell me it was better. He's way wrong. It's so old, I couldn't look at it. And then I just started cracking up right in the middle of it because I realized cell phones didn't exist during that movie. It was really just a story about Metatron from Supernatural because he was in it. But I can't handle old things. Like, it makes me physically ill.
You start to feel claustrophobic.
You do. It's like, I couldn't handle it, especially after watching The Majesty That Is 22 Jump Street. I'm like, how are any of these people better than Channing Tatum? They're not. Channing Tatum is better than everyone. But yeah, it was pretty difficult. Like,
sounds like you had a really difficult time.
It was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. I'm trying to think of anything else that's happened to me. I have a pretty boring life. I say no to most opportunities, so I don't do anything. So that's all that's happened to me. Now back to you.
Thanks, Dawson.
We're like Turd Crapley.
Thrilling coverage. Well, according to last week's podcast, I was like solving murder mysteries on the murder train or something.
I don't remember that.
Which, you know, granted, you would think that the twist would be that the murder train killed all of the people. But in reality, it was the murder train that hired me to kill all of those people.
That sounds just like the Doctor Who episode.
Plot twist.
That's exactly how it happened. Aerosol's a contract killer.
He hired me to kill them, and then I had to solve the crimes.
I bet that was hard to solve. You had to rack your brain for that one.
Who did it? Mike's in my hand, but this is a misdirect. Where's the black guy? He probably did it. There I go. I knew I was going to solve it.
You did it.
I've been watching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! I've been going through each series again. Well, for stuff like GX and 5Ds, I never watched the final season of them because they were never released here, so it's sort of new to me. I don't know. I might talk about that in Ramble Time if we really feel the need to prolong this.
I can pitch in about 5Ds.
What else? I played Pokemon. I've been playing Pokemon, I should say. Omega Ruby, for the record, not like Heart Gold and Soul Silver like Devin. I'm not that far behind.
Classic Devin.
So that's been fun. Is it just me, or does like a lot of the dialogue from a lot of the different characters make it seem like they're coming on to you?
Yes. It really does.
Like, there's this scene with Wally, and he's like, can I call you my... And, like, it pauses. And I'm just sitting there like, are you hitting on me? Is this kid in his pajamas hitting on me? Why is he still in his pajamas? I don't get this.
Because he's getting straight down to business.
Fucking Victory Road. Why is he in his PJs?
And then, if you play Omega Ruby on Team Magma, you get, I don't know, the girl villain.
Courtney, I think.
Yeah, and she's like, she's robotic or whatever, but she's also like super obsessed with you, but it borderlines on like super creepy. And I'm just like, Are we about to have sex?
Is
like that thing? Like,
are we gonna do it on this table right here?
It's like the fight in 22 Jump Street. Are we gonna fight? Or are we gonna fuck? Are we gonna fuck? What is this? What's going on? We're kept leaning in.
Like a submarine bay. I don't know what's going on. So I don't know. That game's weird. I love it though. I love the Hoenn remakes so far.
What kind of bullshit is the camera up submarine? I'm like, bitch, you are like four times weak to water. What is wrong with you?
I love that too. Like, because she's like, the submarine's already been upgraded. I'm like, are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that's a camera up. And
I feel like I could sink your submarine with like a squirt gun.
Meanwhile, Team Aqua's got like a Sharpedo sub. I'm like, see, they got it right.
Well, yeah, because they're Team Aqua. They should have the camper-wrapped one. They should have reversed it. That's what it should have been.
We're the glorious Team Aqua. Here is our camera-up sub.
You know, even though the game tries to kind of expand on the story a bit from the old versions, it's still hard to take Team Magma and Aqua seriously. It's like, if you're not going to be serious about this whole being a villain thing, then I'm just not going to care. I don't know. I think no matter what you do with them, they're kind of always going to be kind of weak villains for me.
Yeah.
So I'm really addicted to tiptoeing in that game, though.
I know, right?
It's that's a weird. You need to go to Tiptoeing Anonymous. TA.
That's about it. News, if we have any. I don't think we do.
I don't know what I'm doing. Where's my internet browser?
I lost right it. To search news.
Where is it?
It's on, just oh, pick a different one.
I found it. It was hiding behind the photo editing window I had open.
What a rascal.
Darn you, photo editor. There we go. It's loaded now.
This is professional. we're essentially like Come On, Get Up, New York from How I Met Your Mother. Where we're on like at 3 a.m. Nobody's watching. We don't care.
There's a new Power Rangers mobile game. Yeah.
I thought it was a mobile game. Like, you just drive around in different mobiles.
It's a mobile game. It just has... You're just hanging from the ceiling and you spin around a little bit. but yeah, there's... It's been a... There's a bunch of small announcements. Like, they put up something for the next Drive special PS thing that they keep doing. But outside of that, there's a whole lot of nothing.
I saw that we, I guess, got a glimpse at the suit for Kamen Rider 3.
Oh, yeah, there was a...
They took a picture of his boobs.
There was a preview in this week's Drive.
What they did with the armor, like, the boobs I was just talking about, is what they should do to the old suits where it looks like armor and it doesn't look like hilarious padding.
Yeah.
So that they don't look like an embarrassment to humanity.
It does make him, like, there's obviously, like, a similar style between him and, you know, Ichigo and Nigo. But because the suit is newer, it makes him stand out.
New is always,
like,
better.
He really clashes him standing next to the other two, which is probably what
that's exactly the way it is with the Heisei suits and the Showa suits, like in the Versus movies. It's such a stark contrast. It's like, that's why they need to make them look more normal. It's like, for the first appearance, I'm like, okay, nostalgia, whatever, the one time. But now, if you're going to keep showing them, it's getting embarrassing now. Time to pack it in.
He looks a lot like the first and the next designs a little bit.
Which I like those.
I do like it, though. I like the suit. For what it is, I think it looks fine.
Is that it? Is that all our news?
I killed the conversation.
Yeah, it was all.
I legitimately think that's it.
Thought of another amazing story. At that same time, we watched Revenge of the Nerds. My friend didn't believe me about Kevin having a kid. And I'm like, I was telling him we got when Kevin told me about it on camera. And we were watching the video. Me and Kevin are standing next to each other. He's like, holy crap, you and that dude look identical. I just like facepalm, like, I think we've heard that before. And then he just kept calling him future me.
Oh, God.
I don't think you guys look that much alike. But no.
I think we look like we could be brothers. I don't think we look identical. But, like, I think we look like we could be brothers. But I just thought it was funny that, like, he said that. When, like, it was the camera was on me and Kevin. And then, like, Brian came into frame. Like, you've seen you guys before. But then, like, Kat zoomed out. All of a sudden, Aerosol's in there. And he just goes, who the fuck is that? I'm like, that's what I said. At the airport, because I had no idea who he was. It's like, who the hell is this guy coming up and talking to me? The hell do you think he is? So, that was an amazing story. It was totally newsworthy.
It was. Beat out everything.
Totally.
Well, I guess now it's time for superhero time. Stuff.
Woo-woo.
Brian just cracked himself up.
That was awful. Why did I do that?
Because I have no
now
reason.
All we need is like a Kamen Rider or Sentai that's like plane themed. Planes, trains, and automobiles. Yeah.
The gimmick would be black boxes and airplane food.
All right.
So this week's episode of Tokuger, which we just got done watching before we started recording, is episode 43 with dollhouses and all that other nonsense.
I say this a lot when we talk about Tokuger, but this isn't the time for filler.
Well, and granted, there was plenty of fillerish aspects to this episode, but we did at least get a little bit for Hikari and Kagura with their families and whatnot.
Backstory is always appreciated. I thought the other two guys were dead.
Oh, yeah.
They're not. Spoiler alert. They're okay. So he threatened to kill them multiple times. So there's that, at least. But, yeah, I for some reason, I thought they were both dead, and then they were there at the beginning of the episode. I'm like, oh, shit, you alive. Okay.
I don't really mind it, just because that's a really anticlimactic way of killing off those two characters.
Yes. Let's kill off our entire villain cast. Except the one we're going to choose to redeem. She can stay alive. Everyone else, they did.
I didn't dislike this episode, really. There are some odd moments here and there, that's for sure. But, you know, I like how it started. I like the dream sequence with Kagura. Because it's something they've brought up before with this idea that their parents might not actually recognize them because they're adults now.
Yeah.
And given the fact that they have just recently discovered their hometown, it makes sense that she'd be worrying about it. And I enjoyed the little bit of backstory with Hikari and just the sort of building on the relationship that he has with his mother and grandmother. Very small parts of the episode overall, but I enjoyed them for what they were.
Yeah, all the flashbacks, everything with the villains. I like world building a lot in my shows, so I always appreciate that. Even if I don't really care too much about the characters at this point, it's still nice to have it, and I do appreciate it. So that's always nice. The plot in general of the episode is pretty much a take it or leave it kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was what it was.
It's a pretty basic, hey, your friends are held hostage kind of thing.
My favorite bit is probably the fact that they had a mecha fight in the house.
It was interesting. I'll give them that. It was interesting to see those suits from those camera angles.
Like, I don't think they've ever done this before. This is kind of neat. Also, that was Michi's house, which is also Dr. Maki's house.
the very basic mansion set that they have.
I have to quickly mention, have you seen the Guy movie? There's a hilarious part where Michi realizes he's not in the right world because his brother's not dead, because he killed him. He was essentially just said, I already killed that dude. The subtitles didn't say that, but it was essentially just like that, and it cracked me up.
Wait a minute.
I don't know why Michi and Kota are the only ones that realize anything, but anyway, back to you again.
Thank you, Dawson.
You're welcome.
I really don't have a whole lot more to add.
I did watch not last week's episode, but the last episode that aired right before I watched this. And I thought that was fine. I thought it was an enjoyable episode overall. I thought the scene between Mio and Takati was actually really well done.
Yeah, it was kind of adorable.
I also, this actually made me kind of bust out laughing when they're all kind of sulking in this room, and then Akira busts in and he's like, "The conductor sent me to liven up this party." Like, really? They sent you. He just walks in and he's like, "This is where I'm gonna die."
Oh, I forgot that was the part where he was gonna start singing his character song and they stopped him. I was disappointed. I'm like, "No, Akira, sing. You're allowed to."
The only part of that episode that really kind of threw me off was like the part when the band shows up out of fucking nowhere.
These are all the maintenance workers. They conveniently have a band that sings their opening theme song.
They like to make up songs about you.
They wrote a song all about your life. Yeah. That's not creepy or weird.
Yeah, that was odd. That was kind of just really random.
Yeah, it was.
Speaking of random, I was sitting here while you were watching this week's episode, and you mentioned the kendama thing, or
kendama.
Whatever the fuck it is.
It's think of Ken from Digimon and they write Dama on the end.
It's a ball and cup.
And Walgreens. Oh, God. One ball, one cup.
It's not
like, exciting at all. Sorry.
I just thought it was funny, because you're like, how the fuck does that work?
Like, I don't get it. Like, I get some of it. Like, he flung it out the window, and then when it was far enough away from the dollhouse, it grew to its normal size.
Ah, oh, shit.
And so, the weight of it, at its normal size, pulled the rest of the string, and since they were still tiny,
there's no strings
they went with it. I don't know. It was iffy.
The part that threw me off was the fact that Hikari looked out the window and was like, "We can't make a fall like that," but yet they flew off the cliff. So I don't know, but they had to get out somehow. I think they set it up like that, and then they're trying to film the end of the episode, and they're like, "Wait, shit. Let's just do it anyway." Okay.
Oh, they have been showcasing that Wright apparently has this sort of growing darkness in him.
He was really pissy.
Well, he thought that his two of his best friends died in a fire.
I would be pissy, too.
So yeah,
depends on the friends.
But I like that. Especially
Brian loves darkness.
I like anger, and especially because at the beginning of the show he's such a like happy joy character. Yeah,
red lipstick jacket.
And so it's such a stark contrast to where he's at right now, where the darkness is starting to kind of affect his personality, and the fact that they found their hometown and it's the bad guy's base certainly doesn't help keeping things calm either. So I think that's a pretty interesting way of moving his character along.
It is still kind of unfortunate that this is all happening in the last like 5 or 6 episodes of the show.
Yeah, I stand by the fact that if they fully embraced the fact that they were kids and worked with that a lot more than they did and kind of stretched out the entire thing to the length of the show, that I probably wouldn't think as negative as I do about it, because I think that would have been a really... It's got all the cards to be a good deck. It was just shuffled in a really bad order.
This is going to tie into the Yu-Gi-Oh thing later.
I was wondering where he was taking that.
Like, it's got one too many Monster Reborn, is what he's saying. Those are illegal now, I think. I don't know. They used to be, like,
they
legal.
Are. They
like,
are.
Like, limit one per deck at non-officials.
So, I'm going to have that engraved on my tombstone. Like, what do you mean Monster Reborn was banned?
Because, and, like, Yugi called it Reborn the Monster one time, so I always called it that, like, forever. Anyway, that's just my childhood.
That was my weird analogy for the
childhood
episode.
Ruined. So. But I agree about that. Tokyuger has a lot of really cool ideas. They just don't execute them properly.
Yeah.
Just among both the villains and the main Tokyugers and Akira, it's just there's really cool stuff I'd like to see, and they put wigs with chickens in them instead. So that's what happens.
I do also think that this is one of the series that probably doesn't benefit from having a like 50 episode length.
Yeah.
Like I do feel like this really could have been a little bit better if it was trimmed.
That's what she said. No, that's what he said, because he wanted her to trim it because it's gross. No, but
they can both say it.
Well, okay.
Personal hygiene is very important.
True.
I'm actually curious. I want to kind of look at the basic plots of the episode and anything that is vital to the overall story arc. I want to jot down and see how many episodes are actually pivotal to watch.
If that's you're doing how we did the MPR season one. There's three.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to comment on how it's funny how the episode numbers work out amongst any Toku series. Like, something like this could stand to be shorter, whereas Gaim would have been nice to have a couple extra episodes to explain why Baron lost it. It's like unfair how sometimes series need more time and they don't get it, and then ones that don't need any more time get it. It's a cruel world.
The show has little moments here and there, too, that I actually kind of appreciate. Like, in the last episode, we saw that Mio's dad was a cop. And if you remember, at the beginning of the series, there was an episode that was mostly filler, in which the Tokyugers were just turned into normal people. People? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Just a word. And, people, that word sounds funny.
And it's been like 2 weeks since I've been on here. I don't know how to talk anymore. But in that episode, Mio was a cop. That was like her dream job. It's a nice little connection. Obviously, it's not really that important, but I feel like it would have been neater if these two episodes were, you know, closer together and not 40 episodes apart. And
so you wouldn't even remember it until someone mentioned it on a podcast.
Yeah. But there are little moments here and there. Like, they were talking about stuff in this episode that was established quite a while ago. And you probably wouldn't have, like, remembered it if you hadn't watched those episodes recently, because it never really gets brought up again. And even then, it's just, there's so much inane bullshit in between then and now that it's just, you forget, you kind of turn your brain off after a while.
Mm-hmm. Turned mine off when I was 5, never turned back. I killed it.
Yeah,
fuck you, brain.
But no, it really is unfortunate, because like we've been saying, the show had a lot of things going for it if it laid things out better. But poor Tokyugers, so to speak. So anyway, drive time?
Sure.
Yes.
So, this week's episode, I thought was better than last week's in terms of it didn't annoy me as much. I found Go to be more tolerable. I think they gave him some of that Parks and Rec Season 1 sedation. He's still a little annoying. He still did that whole I'm the Great Saiyan Man stance. But at least he didn't get up on stage. Well, they did show it at the beginning again. Or wait, maybe that was when I clicked on the wrong episode. I don't know. But he wasn't quite as obnoxious as last time.
I disagree.
Well, last time he got up on stage and he, like, blew confetti all over your face. At least this time he didn't do that.
Honestly, I was fine with that.
Really?
Like, I listened to the podcast, you know, whenever that episode aired, and I've seen your guys' reaction on Twitter. I'm just like, I didn't have this reaction, guys.
Can you at least agree that the falling, thinking points falling down was uncalled
yeah,
for?
Yeah, okay. I won't dispute that it's all pretty fucking stupid. I just didn't have nearly as much of a problem with it. But this episode, I hated. I got like 5 minutes into this episode. I'm just like, if it wasn't for the podcast, I wouldn't watch this fucking show. I hate it. I could not stand this episode.
What didn't you like about it, good sir?
It's the accent you just did that set him over the edge.
I don't go. Since we were go yeah. Since we were talking about him being annoying, I found him more annoying. He's just kind of this obnoxious character who
wants to Peter Parker his way through life, selling pictures of himself
to
random strangers.
It got to a point where, like, I understand that they're trying to show that he's not just a reckless shithead. But at the same time, he's, like, needlessly fighting Drive at one point in this episode. And I'm just like, why? Why does this have to happen? Granted, Drive tackled you out of a moving car. I will give you that. But you guys don't need to be fighting. Just explain. Jesus.
That can be said about so many of these Toku team up movies.
It's all over misunderstandings.
And a lot of the, you know, that the visual gag that Brian and I have mentioned several times, just the whole jump cutting of it, I felt like that was happening all over the place in this episode.
It was
jump cutting like a bitch, and I couldn't. It was giving me a headache watching it. I'm just sitting there like, I'm tired.
It happened at, like, the very beginning of the episode with Shinosuke, and, like, there wasn't anything to bounce off of as a gag. It was just, like, a shocked reaction that kept jump cutting, and it was very off-putting. I'm like, what are you doing? That wasn't even necessary. Not that this is ever necessary. But it was so out of place, and you're right, it did happen a lot in this episode. Yeah.
Well, it got a decent way through the episode. I'm just like, do I need to prescribe you some kind of medication to just make you calm down?
I think you have a stuttering problem.
Did I stutter?
That's all I want is the episode to calm down a little bit. There are good aspects here. Oh my god, you're giving me a headache.
I think my biggest problem with the show is that the show never knows what the hell it's trying to be.
It doesn't have an identity yet.
It has the motif of a racing show with the character elements of a cop show inside of a superhero show. That is trying to both be serious and
Barney and Friends
fucking weird at the same time, and you mash it all together and you basically get Drive, and it's got like a multiple personality disorder. It's bouncing around.
The DID of Toku.
From thing to thing, not knowing what it's trying to do or what it's trying to be, and I think that's what frustrates me the most. There's nothing solid about this show.
You know, the one thing that bothered me in this episode is it's kind of a small little backstory detail, but the backstory of Mach, it feels like such a write-in. Like, I always really think to soap operas. It was like in soap operas where it's like, hey, remember the sister we've never mentioned before but somehow has now been written into history? That's what it felt like. Like, oh yeah, we have a new system that's way more advanced, but we never felt the need to mention it ever. like, especially since, like, three episodes ago, Drive tried to commit suicide, and he's like, oh, no, we need you. I'm like, dude, you got another guy. You didn't even say anything. It makes sense that the belt's more advanced because it can read everything, and it's got sounds for it all, which is super annoying when you have to film reviews. Like, I wish this didn't read everything.
In terms of the whole, like, system and everything, I do agree, like, maybe this could have been brought up, like, maybe bring up the fact that there's another scientist on the other side of the world who's also, like, working on this. And, you know, maybe Belt-san didn't know, or maybe he wasn't completely privy to the details, but still, it just seems like that in particular seemed like necessary detail.
Yeah, it seemed like something that would have been brought up.
I do know that people had a problem with Go kind of suddenly coming in. Shit, I just hit my mic. And
apologize to me.
I wasn't too upset about that. I can kind of understand why Kiriko wouldn't mention that she had a brother. She's kind of not really that open of a person. Plus,
would you brag about him if he was your brother?
I don't know. He can flip pretty damn good.
At the same, I saw.
Is he Roy?
I saw.
On Roy Twitter, Child just go to a flip off.
I saw on Twitter Evangelist mention that Go can, like, move through every scene solely by jump cut, like back flipping jump cut.
He does the most literal jump cut too, because he jumps and then cuts. he was flipping around the base like a monkey. He was just, like, flipping back and forth everywhere. Like, up and down and up a ladder. I'm like, what are you doing?
Sit down, man.
You know, when he was, like, Peter Parkering and, like, showing his pictures to everybody and making them believe that that was the Kamen Rider they've been seeing, at that moment, he reminded me of Eddie Brock from Spider-Man 3, where he just comes in and steals, Peter Parker's thunder. Except, more annoying, but he's not going to become Venom at the end. Unless it was a plot twist.
Go's going to show up in the Spideyverse.
Oh, God. For some reason, they're going to say Go's going to show up when Drive's getting rid of the suit. I don't know, like, he's going to get rid of Type Wild, and Type Wild's going to drip all over Go, and he's going to become Type Wild Venom, and he's going to try to kill Kirsten Dunst, but she's not even involved in this. But it got really weird. But I just thought it was funny. I'm like, my God, two Spider-Man jokes in a row. This is going to be golden. It's going to be so golden.
But going back to what you guys were saying earlier about the show not really knowing what it wants to be sometimes, I agree. It sometimes feels like it should just pick one or the other. Either be completely goofy or be serious. And Drive does lean a little bit more towards the goofy side. Unfortunately, its goofiness kind of just doesn't click with me at all.
It's not the fun goofy. It's
You know what's funny is that before Drive came out, we kept talking about, like, we had these long conversations about what would it be like. I feel like that show is just acting out all of our different scenarios. Like, we couldn't figure out what it's going to be, so they're just trying everything.
And I don't really know, like, who to blame. I don't think you should blame anybody, but, like, I don't know if this is a matter of Riku Sanjo not really knowing how to write comedy very well. But at the same time, I look at Kyuriger, I'm like, I like Kyuriger. Kyuriger was fun.
Yeah, it was.
But then I look back at something like Double, and I like Double, but there were a lot of, like, humorous moments that didn't really land in that series. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, maybe he's just not that good at it.
He's not good at balancing when it comes to Kamen Rider. If you give him a Sentai cast, he can work wonders, but you put in Rinder? Yeah.
Rinder. Kamen Rinder. He's Kamen just like the Kamen Rider who, like, uses rinds. Of, like, you know, brie cheese. He's just like, yeah, brie cheese rinds.
He throws pork rinds at people.
Oh, I was thinking the rind. Wow, we went in a totally different direction. Pork rinds, cheese rinds.
I was thinking the rind of, like, a fruit.
We went three different directions. There we go. We were the signal bike that splits.
I just kept taking pictures of the food and talking about the wow factor.
Signal bites all.
Signal bites. But see, next year's Kamen Rider's food confirmed. It's gonna be Signal Bites, the Rind Rinder.
Oh my god, I'm so done.
Signal Bites.
I knew when we started this show I was gonna say something stupid. It happens every week. I didn't expect it to be Signal Bites, but
don't worry, mine was a monologue about Catch That Kid.
But I'm still gonna keep with it. Obviously, I do enjoy the toy line for what it is. I will say that.
Yeah, I have to say I do like the toy line quite a bit.
So even if the show kind of falls off the deep end, which it might, at the rate they're going, I'm still gonna follow the toys and everything because I do really like what they're.
I like the designs too. Like that's what's disappointing about Mach is that I was really looking forward to liking him because I like his suit quite a bit. And then he blew confetti in my face, and I was always like, lol, take that, Dawson. I love confetti. Like,
the only reason I really didn't have a problem with that is just because his design is basically like medieval Knievel. Medieval Knievel? That's not right.
That I want to see. He does horse jumps
instead.
It's just a medieval
knight who does like stunts on horseback. No, he's, you know, the, like, showman kind of stuntman kind of thing. I don't know.
I think I just don't care for characters
dumb.
Like
it's
that.
It's just, it, like, I got what they were going for, so it didn't, like, it didn't bother me as much.
I think it's just because I don't like characters like that, especially in Rider. It just doesn't fit a lot of the time. It just, like I said last week, it takes me out of any like shred of seriousness I'm holding on to where I can take something serious and it throws confetti in it. This is
serious. And I do think that the idea of having, because he mentions in this episode that he can do things that, you know, cops kind of wouldn't, you know, they may shy away from doing certain things. And I like that idea of having sort of like a rogue kind of person on their side who can kind of go above the law, I guess.
Go. Sorry.
I hate his name. No. I just, again, I don't really like Go that much, so.
Stop's way cooler. It's more chill. It's like, stop. Just take it easy, man.
That's one of his signal bites.
Whoa, just take it easy, man. He has the Drake, whoa, just take it easy, man, signal bite. That's what I want. He also has the infamous, wow, infamous, second Josh. Infamous sounds like a venereal disease.
So is that it for Drive?
Yep, I think it ends at venereal disease. That closes it off.
Sounds about right.
So this week on Power Rangers, Gia would be shopping. No, it didn't happen. What have I been watching?
I felt like there was something Power Rangers to mention, but I don't think so. There hasn't been anything going on.
People are clamoring for release date, so Saban has failed all of humanity if they don't give us a release date in the next 3 days.
That's the latest news. A Japanese guy bought Power Rangers toys.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently that was like super newsworthy for everybody.
There's like this weird mentality where it's like it reminds me of the Figure Arts in America mentality, like as if it's impossible, and people are acting like a Martian was doing a live demo of Zords. That's what I felt like it was. I'm like, I did find it, which makes sense though, because whatever the fuck he did with Zord Builder was very alien. Like, it's funny because I see like Raz and other people taking pictures of Zord Builder and they look like robots. Sometimes they go full on crazy, but this guy like made a weird mutant freak. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? I mean, have fun, you know, be creative, but what the hell?
Jesus Christ. That was a yawn. I think the only thing that really got me was the fact that he seemed to legitimately enjoy the toys. And so I love that he actually did like them and all of the people that just sit there and go, Bandai America sucks. They make shit toys. No one can have fun with these. Japan rocks. Got overruled by an actual Japanese person, so.
I think it's funny that they think that Japan would be more fun. I think that even with like some of the shitty bike figures, the Bandai of America actually has more fun because we have more non-show things, which I always found to be fun, whereas Japan seems like super strict. Like, if they do one non-show thing, they're fired. Like, there's nothing. It's only shit that appears in the show outside of, like, you know, like weird stuff like toilet paper and fish paste, whatever the hell they're into over there. They use the fish paste for, like, hemorrhoid cream. I don't know. But, like, there's nothing like that. There's no, like, cool dinosaur robot cars or bikes that are based off of the other seasons or what. Like, we sometimes, you know, you get crappy things or it's stupid, but at least we're trying, and it gives kids a lot more variety than, you know, well, this toy appeared in the show, that's what goes out. Anything else is blasphemy, unless it's fish paste or bean paste. Which just looks like bean coated in jizz. Like, that's what it is. Like, just like, they eat the bean and it's just coated in, like, sticky stuff. I'm sorry, it's gross.
I don't see why, you know, someone from another country buying an American toy had to be such a big deal to everybody.
Because we do it every day.
It seems so silly.
I love how, like, it might have been Orange Range or something, or J-Fusion, I don't remember, like, posted it on their site. I'm like, you know, this isn't news, right?
We do this like every week. We do it on a daily basis. It's like, I don't know why it's different in reverse.
It's weird.
It's like Martians, man. Now, if Martians really did find Zord Builder, okay, maybe you can go on J-Fusion. But just maybe. But like only if it's, you know, Doc Brown, my favorite Martian, found it. No? When I did my favorite Martian references? Okay.
Oh my god.
Noted.
Now it's time for ramble time.
Yeah. Great Scott. Let's go with it.
Well, now it's time
for fine.
Everything's still gone. Pokemon's still off. Korra ended. Doctor Who ended.
Not forever.
Doctor Who is also apparently leaving Netflix, which is kind of upsetting for new fans.
I didn't know about that. Because I always think, like, when I see the DVDs or Blu-rays, because they started releasing, like, the Tenet years and stuff on DVDs at, like, a reasonable price now. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'll get it later. It's on Netflix. And now I'm like, oh, crap. Now I might have to buy them if I ever want to revisit anything. They re-aired on BBC all the time, though. So if you, I don't need to see The End of Time, like, for at least another 1,000 years. It's really funny because they had, like, a Christmas marathon, and they didn't show oh, God, I'm nervous now. No, they didn't show End of Time for the whole Christmas thing. They had it, like, on, unless I missed it, because I didn't watch all week, but it was, like, Christmas week was all Doctor Who. And I was like, oh, my God, they didn't show the End of Time. And then they had another marathon on New Year's Eve, and they showed End of Time, like, 5 times.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta make I've up seen for that. It. I was flipping through the channels, and it's, like, End of Time, End of Time. End of Time. Yeah, like, I get it. The year's over. Calm down.
It's pretty obnoxious. And it kind of it makes you realize how messy of an episode is the more times you watch it. Like, I always see so many people say how much better Tenet's send-off was than I don't know why I almost said Mitch Lawrence. Matt Smith's send-off was, where I think it's the opposite. I found his regeneration to be more emotional because he had actual people there and imaginary Amy to interact with. And his whole ending storyline kind of tied into his past storylines, whereas Tenet just kind of walked until he fell off a ledge. That's what I felt like. When he just had a bunch of specials and then he left. Not that I wasn't sad to see him go at the time and that it wasn't a good scene, but it's just like the ending story I didn't feel was as strong. But I just, it's one of those things that gets put up on a pedestal a lot.
I didn't have time to feel sad because as soon as Tenet left, like, a couple hours later, I watched Matt Smith.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, technically my first Doctor was 9 when I started from the beginning. But, like, I knew who the other ones were going to be. So there was never that weird adjustment period, like, with Capaldi. Like, I liked Capaldi right off, but there's that, like, few episode adjustment period where you sort of feel comfortable with feeling like that's the Doctor. Kind of like what Clara went through, but for me. So I never had that before, because even though I started with nine, I like knew the other two people were going to be there, and I recognized them as the Doctor. So it wasn't like a weird transition. And I think it's funny because I found that because BBC does reair Doctor Who a lot, but I seem to only always catch series 5 through like 7. So whenever they re-air like a series 2 or 3 episode, I have don't any memory of it. I'm like, holy crap, did I even watch this? It's like, where's Amy? Like, I don't understand. So I don't remember a lot of those series. Maybe I'll rewatch them before they go off Netflix. Probably not. But it's a nice thought. But let's see, what else? Oh, wait. Are we still not? Okay. There we go. That laugh told me all I needed to know. So, how about the economy? Crazy, right?
I hear it's not doing well.
Stocks. Community college is going to be free now. It's on the Dean Low, though. Don't say anything about it. Something about Greendale. Let's see, what else random stuff did I talk about? Brian, did you say you watched one episode of Agent Carter?
Yeah, I watched the first one.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it, but...
Well, you're a jerk. No, I thought the first episode was fine. It was the second one that lost me, because I told you I made a Friends reference, and then I started watching Friends videos. But my problem with it is...
Oh, no, I watched two. Didn't I? Well, there was two. Was there two on the first?
Yeah, they aired them back to back.
Okay, there, I watched the first two. Then I didn't watch this week's.
Oh, okay. There we go. So the second one lost me. I don't even remember what it was about. I just stopped because I realized I was watching YouTube, not that. But my main problem with it, like, I didn't find it to be like terrible or anything, but it's kind of old, and that old stuff bores me, and I just felt like there wasn't anything I really cared about. But the thing that bothers me about it. Is it so in your face about the fact that it has a woman protagonist, which I'm not against female protagonists at all, but I hate how they're like, look, we have a female protagonist. Look, these men are sexist. Look, oh my God, we have a female protagonist, guys. Can you believe it? Feminism. Like, it just seems so in your face. And I get that that era was very much sexist. And so it's going to be an element, but I feel like the thing I like about when there is a strong female lead like Cora or Buffy, they don't make a big deal about it, and that's what makes it cool. Is it's kind of like what I understood what Kevin was talking about, is that you alert that it's strange by bringing attention to it. So it just bothers me how much attention they bring to it. It's almost obnoxious. Kind of like how at the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they kept referencing the Avengers. Like, I get the it was too much. It was like, hey, I tell you about the time I met Thor. I just wanted to know where Burger King was. I don't even know you. I was just like, hey, bro, where's the Burger King? He's like, hey, I met Thor. Want to see where Loki stabbed me? I get it that you want to. They got a lot better about it, but I just hate how they lay it on so thick. Because the beauty of having a strong character like that is that they're just strong and it's normal. It's not like, oh my God, look at this. Look at it. I don't want to look at it.
I'll agree in some instances, but here I don't particularly have a problem with it whatsoever, because, like you said, it fits in with the era it's trying to portray, and I'm all for realism, so...
Well, I don't think that they wouldn't address it, I just feel like they're still laying it on thick. Like, it would still be there, but just, I think that, it's kind of like with the referencing thing. In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, they still do reference things, and so you obviously it's in the same universe, but they do it in a way that feels organic, whereas now I don't feel it's as organic. It just feels like too much. And then Ted Mosby's daughter's a waitress there. I don't know what to do about that. The waitress at the restaurant. She was one of the Ted Mosby's kids from the beginning of the episode. She was! Can't help it. She was also on Kick-Ass, if that helps anybody.
Thanks.
I don't know. I just felt like IMDb right now. Wait. I don't know. I think I got the initials wrong.
No,
that side, though.
You got it.
Okay. Yay! Stuck the landing.
I'm going to keep watching it. I enjoy it a lot.
Travis is
pretty awesome. So.
What else? Aristotle, did you want to go on a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tirade?
I guess. As I mentioned earlier, I've been watching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh, rewatching older seasons because I'm into it, I guess. So I rewatched the first series up through Battle City. I didn't go into the two filler arcs after that. And I also skipped the not one but two virtual reality arcs that Yu-Gi-Oh has.
Because they had to stall for time.
Yeah. Well, they really didn't, though.
That's why I always thought they could have done it after the tournament. Like, why not finish this tournament instead of having a whole season before the final battles?
Yeah.
It was dumb.
So, I mean, that's... If you've seen the original Yu-Gi-Oh, you know how it is. So I'm not going to be like analyzing it or anything like that. It's what it is.
The duels can be painfully slow.
It's you know, for some of the for how much the I don't know how to like call them. A lot of people refer to the sequel series as being like filler series, which I don't feel that they are.
GX FIVD's Zexal are all filler?
They tend to get griped on from people who kind of put the manga at high esteem, which I'm going to come out and say the manga really isn't that great. the anime really improved on a lot of things. But
like moving pictures, not having to read. Unless you're watching subs.
Shit. Where was I going with this?
Original series, filler. Cindy Crawford. That was a misdirect.
But no, one of the benefits to the most recent series, the sequel series, are that they are more streamlined. You don't have these really long, drawn-out duels.
Yeah.
Most duels now... If they go past an episode, it's usually only two, unless it's like a super big event, and then it's maybe three.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this before, too, is that even when they have longer duels, they do a better job of spacing the gameplay out. Like in the original series, it would be like, I summon Winged Dragon of Ra. Now let me tell you about my eighth year of life. Mm-hmm. And then they would go on a monologue, and then like it would literally be that one move. Whereas, like, in 5Ds or even in GX, like, they would go for several moves, like, back and forth, and you would get to watch a couple minutes of dueling, and then if they had a filler exposition or cut to another scene or something, but at least it kept the duel going at a more realistic pace as compared to, like, one move and then monologue, and then one move, monologue.
It also doesn't help that a lot of the first series is really repetitive, at least the earlier parts are.
Yeah.
Like most of Duelist Kingdom, all of Joey's duels amount to, okay, here's four episodes of Joey dueling, and all of the like in between moments are him thinking about how he needs to do this for his sister. It's like, okay, we get it. Like,
gotta do this for Serenity. The Firefly movie? What are you talking about?
Also, I don't know how many people remember this, but the first season had not one, but two musical montages.
Of what?
Of people doing shit. Well, the first was like this really cheesy kind of, like, all the music is made for...
I remember that one of Yugi and Joey. It was like Best Friends Forever video.
That was the second one. And it's just this montage of them, like... of
hugging,
history
smiling.
And stuff like that. It's talking about how they're best friends and how they're about to duel. And then, but the first one was like, Kaiba's coming back and he's a spy and he's infiltrating his own house.
<You're>
it was just so over the top. And I got to those moments and I had completely forgotten about them. I was just sitting there staring at my screen like, what the fuck is going on? like the shows don't do that anymore. That's so bizarre to me.
I remember the Joey Yugi one. Like, they had a song specifically for it. I can't remember it, but the only song I'm hearing in my head right now is that song that was playing when all the Pokemon were fighting in the first movie. Like, it somehow it fits the tone of that for me.
But after I stopped after Battle City, I moved on to GX.
Generation X!
Which I've been watching in Japanese solely because I want to watch through season 4. Feel like, you know, suddenly transitioning into Japanese once I got to season 4.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything's different. Not only the voices, obviously, but the names are all different. GX is like the only Yu-Gi-Oh! Series that has every single name changed, as opposed to just a couple.
Not so much the names, but that's why I couldn't watch this dub of 5Ds. I'm usually not any sort of dub snob at all, but there was such a contrast between certain voices. Like, if you watch 5Ds, Jack Atlas has a really deep voice. And the American adaptation, he's got a sniveling Bakura voice, which not only was really hard to switch back and forth, but watching, because I only watched a few episodes early on, but I knew that he wasn't going to be an antagonist forever, but Bakura kind of always was. So it was like, I don't see him being nice with this voice. So it was such a contrast.
Jack Atlas's dub voice is kind of odd because it's also got like an accent to it.
Yeah, it's an odd choice.
It's kind of hard to pin down. I feel like they
gave it to him because he was so antagonistic at the beginning, but was it the way he was going to always be?
I have seen a little bit of 5Ds in Japanese, so I know the difference between the two voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Atlas does have like a super deep voice in the Japanese. I was kind of surprised when I first heard it.
We're hearing Goku for the first time in Japanese. Like, what the hell, man?
Speaking of voices, though, I'll get back to GX in a moment, but towards the end of the first season of GX, Pegasus shows up as a cameo. It's his first cameo in the series. And he was on screen for about a minute, and I just lost my shit. Like, I just...
What is he?
Oh my god! His Japanese voice is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard.
Is it high pitched?
It's I always thought that his dub voice was just the dub being goofy, but it isn't. It's actually kind of the dub trying to legitimize Pegasus because his Japanese voice is the dub voice turned up to 11.
So how do you turn up Yugi Boy to 11?
He still calls them Yugi Boy and Judai Boy, but all of his sentences kind of trail off. It's as if he's perpetually falling off of a cliff. So it's like Judai Boy, and it's always trailing off into the distance. It's very odd, and it's just really light. It's much like the U.S. voice is actually quite a bit deeper than the Japanese one, and it's not like screechy. It's just really whimsical, and like I said, it kind of trails off into nothing, and it's every single sentence with him.
I'll have to look it up.
It's really funny. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. And I couldn't read the subtitles because I couldn't stop laughing. But I love Pegasus in the dub. I love Pegasus in GX, weirdly enough. It's so fun seeing him because he just kind of shows up and dicks around. I've been watching GX, and GX is one of those series that kind of gets shit on a lot. Like, not a lot of people really like it. And I can kind of understand why.
Personally, I thought you were going to go to, I don't get it, but you're like, I get it.
Well, like, personally, like, my opinion on the series kind of differs depending on what season I'm watching. It's really weird. Like, if I'm watching the first season, I can be like, okay, this isn't like a good show, but it's fun. Like, I'm into it, whatever. It's kind of goofy and stupid, like the main character's dueling a monkey. But then you get into the second season, and it's like, none of this works unless Judai is just the biggest dick in the world.
Like, that's sort of the way GX is for me. It's really weird, because I liked the first season quite a bit. Like you said, it was fun. That's why I liked it. I really liked the Elemental Hero Monsters. The duels were a lot faster. The characters were kind of fresh. And the thing I liked about, like, roughly the first quarter of the series is they kind of made fun of the first series, where, like, you know, that he was dueling that guy that was like, I'm going to send you to the Shadow Realm, and Jaden's, like, laughing in his face. And they kind of shied away from all that weird stuff. And I thought that was kind of funny that they were making fun of that. And it was a lot of fun. But then, because I really liked the beginning, and then GX's plots got really weird. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Always kind of gets weird. Like, Pokemon movie plot weird. It's like, all of a sudden, I don't even remember how everything went. Like, there's all of a sudden a cult of white people.
Yeah.
And then they go to the weird dimension where Jaden's, like, childhood dominatrix monster friend is mad at him, and then he merges with her later. I'm like, I don't understand where they went with it.
Well, I'm only a little ways into season 3 right now. But in season 2, yeah, there's the cult. They bring in
aliens.
His name is Aster Phoenix in the English dub, but in Japanese his name is just Ed. And I don't understand why they changed it.
It's my uncle's name. My uncle's Yu-Gi-Oh. I knew it.
Like, season 2 doesn't start off too bad. I like some of what they were doing. And then it, you know, it introduces the whole cult of light, or whatever it was called, Society of Light. And then they proceed to do, like, nothing for for 30 episodes. And at one point they take a field trip to Domino City, and that doesn't really amount to anything. And, like, it just... For the most part, the Society of Light is just kind of a joke, and they only work as antagonists, and they only work for as long as they do. If you see our main character as being a huge dick, like I said, because he gives no fucks about his friends being abducted by this cult at all. All of his friends get brainwashed by this cult over the course of this season, and he does nothing to help them at all.
He was busy getting his game on.
Oh man, well, now they're a part of the Society of Light. Whatever, let's go fishing, guys.
That sounds like Ryu from Jetman. Oh, my fiance's dead. Canoeing.
The only time that he says, okay, I gotta take down these guys, is when the head of the society threatens to blow up the world with a giant satellite death ray.
Sounds like Yu-Gi-Oh!
That is the only time he decides to say, you know what? These guys probably aren't that good for our school. They should probably be stopped. And that's it. Like, all of season 2 I really disliked. It's really weirdly paced. It just doesn't work. The whole plot overall for that season doesn't work. And by comparison, season 3 so far is actually way better. It's weird. Like you said, they get transported to an alternate dimension in which duel monsters are now real and stuff, but it's put together better.
Is Jaden evil yet?
So, not yet. I know it's coming, though.
Yeah, okay. Spoiler alert.
I don't know. It's like, even if season 3 isn't that good, the sheer fact that season two sucked so hard,
it set the bar low.
We actually kind of enjoy the season more because it's not as bad. It just happens to suck a little because season two is necessary for the season to work.
Yeah.
And season two blows. So
I never did finish the final season. I only sort of watched tidbits after two because it was just so weird, but I know of it just got really weird, with a lot of the stuff they did with Jaden. And this is a completely trivial thing, but he gets cards called Evil Heroes. Why didn't they just call them Elemental Villains? Evil Heroes makes no sense. It's like having a heroic villain card, which I guess that kind of character exists sometimes. But just I wanted a card that was called Elemental Villain, but they went with Evil Hero.
I
almost
know.
Thought that was something they would have changed from the Japanese to American cards, but they didn't.
Yeah. I love the some of the dub. You never really appreciate some of the changes to names until you've seen the the source material. So all of the Elemental Hero names are kind of weird. Elemental Hero Avian is way better than Elemental Hero Featherman.
Yeah.
And then Aster Phoenix's in the Japanese dub, his main hero is called Phoenix Guy. And I'm just sitting here Phoenix Guy? Really? In the American dub, they changed it to Phoenix Enforcer, which is infinitely cooler.
Those are Ben 23 names.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought they would change Evil Hero to Elemental Villain, but they didn't. Which would have been cool. Maybe they're saving out for him. But GX had a lot of really cool monsters, I thought.
I like the cards. There's a lot of neat little elements here and there for GX. Sometimes it doesn't really use them very well.
Have you started any of 5Ds yet, or are you just going to go all the way through and then start 5Ds?
I had started 5Ds. I got about 30 episodes into 5Ds, so it's just past the first tournament.
And you're watching the dub?
Yeah, because it was on Hulu.
Oh, I can link you to the site that I was using before, I think. Oh, crap. No, it's on my dead computer. Damn it.
Oh.
I think
Hulu has most of the dub, or not the dub, the sub. It's easy. So I just decided to watch that.
I should be able to find the link. I can send you the link where I watch 5Ds. They have every series, all of them. They're all linked on their YouTube videos, but they're good quality and everything.
I watched about 30 episodes of that and then decided to just try to make my way through GX as quickly as I could get it out of the way.
Because they're also going to, they didn't do the last season here for 5Ds. Yeah, 5Ds. And I could be wrong, but I think they cut out some episodes. I might be wrong, but there were some that had some sort of violent content. I don't know. I think there was a couple that dealt with a couple heavy things. I think they cut them. I'm not sure. I heard something about it, but I never looked into it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't think they even finished season three, did they, for the dub?
I don't even know.
Cut out right towards the end.
I can't remember it now, but I remember when I was watching it like last year, I remember hitting the episode that I knew they stopped the dub at and thinking that was a terrible place to finish it. Yeah, because it was right in the middle of a tournament, like smack dab in the middle of it. So that was dumb.
But of course, Zexal is getting completed.
Yeah, of course. God damn. I have to say, when you eventually get to the rest of 5Ds, I find it to be the best just because I feel, the plot definitely has those strange bits, especially the last arc, but it still felt the most cohesive to me. The first two seasons, I felt that after the end of the second season actually would have been a pretty decent place to end it, but it went on for a third year. I liked things about it, but that was the year they kind of did some strange stuff. But even so, for the most part, the whole series storylines always felt tied together, more so than whereas the other two sometimes felt like they were going all over the place and having really weird different plots, but I felt that 5Ds was the most cohesive for Yu-Gi-Oh!
And I mean, just from the little bit that I've watched, which I've already seen the first season of 5Ds before, so it wasn't anything new for me. But it was very noticeably, you know, better put together than the GX was, and even the first season of Yu-Gi-Oh! I give them credit for in a lot of these series, it does tend to get a little grating when the main character duels so much.
Yeah.
Because they tend to at the beginning of the series. That's a thing that's going to happen. But for 5Ds actually managed to kind of like step around that a bit by having Yusei duel with different decks.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of neat. Like he has that treasure deck, and then he has the cobbled together deck, and it makes it feel fresh, despite the fact that, you know, it's the same person dueling each time.
Yeah, and they all have to have a slight variation on their own decks, because they have to have turbo duel and regular duel decks too, because speed spells don't work, in regular duels. But yeah, I like that series quite a lot.
The third series kind of weird,
but the first two seasons really fit together really nicely, and it's almost like, in a way, Parks and Rec, because season two kind of ends in this nice way where it's like it could have been the end, but then season three takes place. I don't think it's years later. I think it's months, but it's like kind of epilogue-y, and then we go off into more weird stuff. I don't think Parks and Rec is going to do any of the weird stuff Yu-Gi-Oh did. It's still, for the most part, I was the most satisfied I was in terms of storyline, and even the characters. I liked the sort of relationship that the whole Team 5Ds had.
I look forward to it, and eventually, begrudgingly, I will watch Zexal. So that will be a thing. I will not be watching the dub of Zexal, because I don't like it. I've already tried to watch some of it. It's not good.
I almost rewatched it, or tried to catch up to it when I finished 5Ds, because I was in such a Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood. But then I deliberated long enough that I got out of the mood, so we'll have to see if I'll ever catch up on it. I'll probably watch Yu-Gi-Oh! GX Season 4 when I'm in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood next time.
Speaking of dubs, though, Arc 5 is getting a dub.
Oh yeah, I heard about that a while back, and they just put the cards have been out for a while here. So
yeah, I actually picked some of them up. I have the Time Gazer and Stargazer Magicians, but yeah, like I've seen some of the dub names have been trickling in, like Reiji is Declan and Gogenzaka is Gong.
Gong.
So yeah, right now all I know about it is that it's slated to come in like the spring.
Where is it going to air?
No fucking clue.
They
might just show it on their site, their website.
Oh,
because I think that's what they did with the end of Zexal.
Well, because I know
on site
Zexal has been airing on Nicktoons.
Has it?
Yeah, but I don't know how caught up they are, because I don't really follow it. But I know that CW, when they aired it on their block, was ahead, because that was like the main place, but then they died. So they might air it on Nicktoons.
That would be good then. I like Nicktoons, so.
That could happen. So I don't know how far ahead they are on. Nicktoons might be the main place now for Zexal regular airings.
So I know that, I guess they're already slated to cover the first 26 episodes, which are going to be counted as the first season. It's an understandable place to leave off that, I guess. But speaking of Arc 5, I'm not going to spoil anything, but holy shit.
Did it's it get really good? Did, is it a reveal who other, what's his face is?
Yeah. Yeah, we.
It's Luke Spencer, I knew it.
We kind of know who he is. I mean, it's still a mystery as to why there's another Yuya. Why are there duplicates of these people? It doesn't make sense, but. Yeah, the past 4 or 5 episodes have been pretty plot heavy. A lot has been revealed.
That's good to hear that it's more engaging, because that was the problem with Zexal, is even though it had storylines I was interested in, it didn't keep me engaged often enough. Because Yu-Gi-Oh! Is gonna inevitably have filler, but the stretches of it were way too long. You gotta keep me interested by sprinkling in some of the plot.
Yeah.
So that's good to hear. So next time I'm in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood, I'll probably catch up on that, and then maybe watch season 4 of GX, and then Zexal will be like the leftovers of what I have to watch.
So it's been good. I'm trying to avoid saying certain things, because like I said, a lot got revealed recently. One thing that happened just in the tournament, this isn't really spoilers, one of the sort of side characters was facing this random duelist, and everyone was shocked because all of a sudden, you know, this random duelist started beating the shit out of the character, because he's a martial artist and it's an action duel, so he fights his opponent to get the cards.
I didn't even think about that being a possibility.
And everyone's looking at this like completely shocked, like, what the hell? This is not how we duel. This is crazy. This guy is beating his opponents up in order to win his duels.
Which... We've been doing this for 4 series now, or 5 series. This is not how it's done.
I just had to like dwell on that for a bit, because I was like, you know, if someone in the previous 4 series would have thought to do that, just walk up and punch the guy in the face, maybe a lot of those series would have ended quicker.
Pretty much. Especially the first series.
That's about all for Yu-Gi-Oh! I have.
This podcast was mainly Yu-Gi-Oh! And obscure movie references. Movie. Not movie, but movie. Movies are really sophisticated movies. I was just going to ask really quick, because I don't want to spoil too much since Brian didn't watch it, but I didn't get the impression that you hated it, but did you like the premiere of Parks and Rec?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Thought it was terrible. I hate the show forever. No. Because I was just going to say, like, it was really weird. Like, I think it was a lot of, like drastic changes. And yeah. I really did enjoy the episodes. And there was a lot of really memorable and funny moments. But I also felt like, Abed at the beginning of season 4 Community, where I'm like, I don't want anything to change. Greendale babies, just everyone stay the same. Go back to the same Parks room and be the same. And I'll be friends. Like, it's so, like, weird to have pretty much everybody in different directions, and some of them haven't talked in a while.
It is a definite whiplash for the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that's changed.
Yeah, I was reading one interview where someone was like, well, there's a lot of changes, but think about how different, like, they were from season 1 to season 6, which is true. But it still wasn't like lose touch, completely different job, different.
Except for Ben, and it quits.
Well, yeah, and Ben, who had like a million different jobs, and Tom's schemes. But still, like, I kind of hope, I don't think they'll do a ton of flashbacks, but I hope we get more of an idea of why certain things, especially Ron and Leslie, fell apart. Just because it's they say a 3-year jump, because this is 2015 now, it's only a 2-year jump, so it doesn't seem like that long. So a lot has happened, so I'm really curious about that. But I think it was a really bold choice, and it gave them a lot of really funny things to do, some interesting story directions to go, and some like funny directions to take the characters, and like funny like jokes of things that have happened in this fictional future. like just casually mentioning that Shia LaBeouf designs wedding dresses now. I love stuff like that.
Some of them are really wacky, of course, but yeah. Some of them, like, you look at the differences between, you know, their sort of potential future and what we could actually have, and it might not actually be that far off. Like,
yeah,
there's a couple of things they've shown where I'm like, you know what, that could possibly happen. I would not put that past anyone.
Because I know they said they weren't gonna go too crazy with the technology and stuff, but I get a feeling that they'll probably stay tame with that, but they'll probably do some pretty outrageous, like, you know, celebrity claims and movie stuff, like the Kevin James Jason Bourne reboot. That was my favorite. Ben wasn't sure about it, but Leslie thought he nailed it. It's funny because that was like a callback to earlier in the episode. I don't remember if it was a separate episode, but like Andy said something like, well, let's go see the new Jason Bourne movie. I think it'll be funny. I'm like, oh, so Jason Bourne's a comedy now. And then like it was either later on or in the second episode, Leslie mentions that Kevin James is the new Jason Bourne. So like, I want to see that.
Turns out Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 just really took off.
Yeah, it's the prequel to
kind of launched Jason him into the Bourne series
on his segue. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes because there's so much more unknown than there typically is in a series, and Ron and Leslie need to be friends again because this is not right.
Good on them, though, for making sort of the main conflict be between, you know, friends as opposed to it just being Jam or just being people trying to
recover
or whatever.
Because they essentially split the Parks Department people down the middle. You got, was it Ron, Tom, and Donna, and then Leslie, Andy, April, and Terry. I'm really curious about now where Ann and Chris are. And, like, I wonder, it would be really weird if Ann and Leslie lost touch in any way. Because of, like, how obsessed she was with, well, right after she moved, like, every time she didn't call her back, she thought she was taken. And she's, like, holding auditions for new Ann. So I'm curious where that's going to be, but it should be a fun season.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Oh, it's one other bit. When Joan said, thank you, Commissioner Gordon, there was a slight pause before she said, and the citizens of Gotham. I legitimately thought there was a Commissioner Gordon in Pawnee, because that seems like the type of place that would have a Commissioner Gordon.
In that producer's cut on Hulu, April actually stands there and reads like bits out of her autobiography, which are really funny.
I'll have to watch that. I kept forgetting to watch the extended cut of the finale last season, but I really want to see that just because there's so many new interesting things with the future and whatnot. Parks and Rec. Brian, you should watch it by next time.
Yeah, well, I'll probably watch it tomorrow.
I feel like this season, our podcast discussions, we'll have more to actually say about Parks and Rec than, hey, this joke was funny, just because of we'll probably be finding out new things every week about main characters and all the side characters. So this ramble time will hopefully just be Parks and Rec. And more Yu-Gi-Oh! Rants. Next week we're going to analyze Digimon, and then we're going to delve into Monster Rancher the week after. So
we have Flareon next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There we go. Yeah, next week it returns.
I guess it is next week.
For a second, I thought you said Flareon. I'm like, he's getting his own show. Finally. It's going to be just like the Arrow franchise. It's Flareon, and then it's going to spin off Vaporeon. Apparently, they're in the early talks of spinning off an Atom show. But it's really just, they think he's building an Atom suit, but he's actually just building Intersect 4.0. So that he can go kill Chuck. That's exactly what's going to happen. Like, I think that'll be interesting just because I'm so torn with his character because I find him likable, but at the same time, I despise him. he's just a little turd that's about to do something bad. So I'm, like, constantly suspicious of him.
He is the most beautiful man that I hate.
And that the Supergirl series on CBS is going to be able to cross over with this one, for Arrow and Flash. I got that right. I almost thought I said Flaro and Ash for some reason. But that should be interesting because of the alien origins of Superman or Supergirl.
See, that's actually the next crossover is just Flash and Arrow and Pokemon.
Yes.
Flash and Arrow are actually Ash's next, traveling companions.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Barry just beats him in every gym. Completes his entire journey in one episode.
Every time Ash beats or doesn't beat a gym, instead of giving a motivational talk, Oliver just says, "You have failed this city."
And then Team Rocket next shows up, Ollie interrogates them.
just shoots James in the knee. Where are they?
I want to see this. I would watch this.
Amazing.
This is a crossover I never knew I wanted.
Flaro and Ash. The new Buddy Cop series. Oh, that's great.
That is a beautiful ending to a beautiful conversation.
Okay, I think it's time for
final thingies. MP3.
Final thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
Not
MP4.
Michael
guys.
Scott calls it N3P. Downloading some N3P music. Do we have anything to say? If I am a responsible citizen, which I am not, I'm going to try to bring back the Facebook question this week, and essentially it'll be like last time, but with Sentai questions. So we're just going to run through the roulette of Sentai colors, because it's a very easy question to remember to ask every week. I mean, it's not easy to remember to put it up on Facebook, but it's easy to remember what the question is supposed to be.
He's going to do pink first.
There we go. It's set in stone now. I can't change it. I was going to do red, but now the whole timeline in which I did red first is gone. You just created two different timelines. There's the red timeline and the pink timeline.
Yeah.
Guess that's it.
Is it over?
Is it over?